Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of the Mundane Festival podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lamberth. Today is Sunday, December 2nd, 2018. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and on Podbean, the host site. If you like this show, please rate and review it on Apple Podcasts and or Stitcher. Give it a 5-star review. Let everyone know why you like it, because it will make me feel good about myself and most of the life decisions that I've made so far. You can email the show at mundanefestivalpod@gmail.com. Let me know what's on your mind. More importantly, what's on your heart. You can like the show on Facebook. You can follow it on Twitter at Mundane Festival. And you can follow me, your host, the guy talking to you right now on Twitter at Chris Lamberth. This is episode 321. There's no guest. It's just me. It's just me in my apartment on my couch recording this intro with Sunday NFL Countdown on mute. And boy, is the NFL just full of shit. Because this past week, the Redskins tried to acquire the rights to Reuben Foster. Doug Williams made a statement and basically embarrassed himself, the team, and black quarterbacks everywhere by just making a dumbass statement, hypocritical statement. Just the actions of getting this guy is hypocritical when Reuben Foster is known for being a woman beater and he's gotten in trouble for shit like that. It's not a good look. And that's really like the only time I remember Doug Williams even coming out to say anything. So they used him to take the hit for this stupid shit that they're doing. And he's on that commissioner's exempt list, so he can't even play. And then Doug Williams had to apologize for some of the statements he made. And I saw a couple buddies going back and forth about it on Twitter and just saying how stupid it was for them to do it and talking shit about Doug Williams. And it took every fiber of my being to just write, he's just a kid. He's just a 63-year-old kid. Because not only is Doug Williams a black quarterback, he's the first black quarterback to ever win a Super Bowl, and that's something that's near and dear to my heart because I was 7 years old when that happened, and I remember when the Redskins won that year, they had these T-shirts with the caricature face, like the little body and the big ass head, and everybody around town had one of those. Even though we were a Cowboys house, my dad was a Cowboys fan. And, I just remember that just being huge. And I think my dad acknowledged that, you know, obviously Doug Williams was a black quarterback. And now that's all we really root for. And I learned it from them. That's all I just root for, black quarterbacks. And you want to see players do well and all this shit. So that happened. And then Kareem Hunt, running back, former running back of the Kansas City Chiefs. There was some incident that he had in a hotel a few months back, and that got released by TMZ of him pushing a woman. I think she was white, so he's done. He's looks like this kid, it's over. Pushing this girl at a hotel, and apparently they hid. It's just a lot of shit. Like, I didn't even look. I looked at some of it, but I'm not a reporter. But it just, the video shows him assaulting this woman, and this fucking crazy man. So that dude is done, and apparently he lied to the team and said it wasn't as bad as it was, and the NFL said they were going to investigate, and they didn't do as well as TMZ did, apparently, because TMZ paid money for the tape, and what's her name, Samantha Ponder, had on Sunday NFL Countdown, she had Adam Schefter and Chris Mortensen talking about it, and she grilled them. And rightfully so. She's like, well, why didn't the NFL do it? Well, and they were like, oh, I don't know. I don't know why they, but because they know they get money from the NFL. So they can't, I don't know why they just said maybe they didn't research. I don't know. But she's like, well, why did TMZ have it? NFL's got more power than TMZ. So, yeah, man, it's not looking good. And it's bullshit. The NFL, they're hypocrites. You know, they rather, and this is shit that I'm echoing with most right-minded people are saying on the internet, on social media, and all this stuff. You know, you want to like the abuse of women is less important than standing up for. Like, they let these guys play, and standing up for your social justice is wrong, and you get punished by not being able to have a job. So it's just not a good look. And I haven't been paying. I have not boycotted the NFL. If it's a movie that I want to see that's on, I'm doing that. If it's something I got to do, I'm not sitting in front of the TV for 7 hours watching whatchamacallit. Damn, what the hell do you call the wow, NFL ticket, Red Zone. I'm not watching it. But it doesn't, you know, I'm just whatever, you know. And I noticed, like, so this is the thing that I don't like. So I don't appreciate the hypocrisy of the NFL, and I understand why people boycott and don't watch. I want to talk about another thing that I don't like. And I don't like black quarterback slander from players. I did not like it when, what's the guy's name? See, now I don't even, that's bad that I don't even. So look, so Richard Sherman was talking shit. He plays with the 49ers now, former cornerback for the Seahawks. And he's trying to talk shit about Russell Wilson. And I know Russell Wilson, there's stories about how he's the golden boy and how you can't really, I mean, yeah, you can't really, they coddled him and all this stuff, whatever. He's a quarterback. He's the face of the team. It's been like that for years. I don't see why. I feel like if Russell Wilson was white, I feel like he wouldn't be saying all this shit about him. I really do. I really feel like some of the slander that black quarterbacks get from teammates and former teammates, I think if it was reversed, if that person was white and the other player was black, they wouldn't be saying this shit. I don't think they would be. And they wouldn't be, if they did, they wouldn't be saying it in public and in the press so everybody can catch on to it. What's the guy that got hit? He played with the Jets and he got his jaw broke. Oh my God! And he's still playing. What the hell is his? Oh my God! Black guy, he got his jaw broke by a linebacker and I just don't think that. Oh my God! That's so bad. Former West Virginia quarterback. What is this dude's name? That's bad. I should know. I should be like, I'm not a Rolodex of black quarterback, but I should know that guy. He should still be playing. I remember Pat White. I remember Major Harris. Mark Bulger. Geno Smith. Thank God. Wow, that's bad. I should know that. Geno Smith, when he played with the Jets, and he got punched because he didn't play. Pay for that dude's you guys know he's with the Chargers now. Good for him, he's still employed. I just didn't like that situation. I don't care if he was bad or whatever. It's like, yo, dude, give me my money. But he broke this dude's jaw. I just don't think he would have did that to Tom Brady, or he wouldn't do that to Matt Leinart, or, you know? I don't like that behavior. I hate it. I'm not a fan of it. And the shit that the kid that used to play with, I think Kelvin Benjamin, used to play with the Panthers, like talking shit about Cam Newton. and he didn't do anything when he was playing with the Panthers. And he's talking shit about him, and now he's not doing shit with the Bills. It's just a lot of bullshit, and I'm not a fan of it. And you guys know why. That's just really annoying to me. I know teammates, like, they talk shit about it. And then the Baker Mayfield thing about about Hugh Jackson getting fired, and he's like, oh, he went to another team. Yeah, he went to another team because he got fired, dude. Maybe you don't like the guy, but is he, because he got another job, you're pissed?
You got to play him twice a year.
Yeah, we'll see how long he's starting in the league. We'll see. We'll see. Yeah, just see if you get the Browns a Super Bowl, Baker. Whatever. I don't wish no failure on nobody, but seem like, all right. Wow. Let me just chill a little bit. Let me chill. So how was your Thanksgiving, Chris? It was great. I had a really good Thanksgiving. It was good to be home. I talked about it on the Three Guys On podcast. So I was on there. Oh God. I was on Three Guys On, recorded an episode with them. I recorded a joint episode with Three Guys On Mundane Festival thingy. Joint podcast with Randolph talking Green Book, which I know that a lot of people hated and were geared up to hate because they said it looked like a reverse Driving Miss Daisy and all this stuff and magical Negro, reverse magical Negro stuff. I've been saying shit like that for about 5 or 6 years, and apparently it's just new to everybody else. You know, there's a bit somewhere on the end. It's on YouTube of me talking about magical Negroes. I have the definitive magical Negro joke. I'm going to be a little J.L. Covan on this one and say, I have the definitive magical Negro joke for a comedian. And that was 5 years ago. So you can look that up. It's like a 13-minute set of me talking about movies, but it's just jokes. I think I got jokes about, there's a Great Gatsby joke in there. So that was like, yeah, 5 years ago. And me talking about Django and all this other shit and Nicholas Sparks. And I weaved it masterfully into a great set. So, yeah, I'm pretty dope. Album coming next year, 2019. I'm making that announcement. I need to get my ass in gear for that shit. So the bars are locked and loaded, and I just need to make that shit happen, man. I've been talking about that shit for 2 years. But there were things that happened in my life that I did not expect. Some good things and some not so good, but that curtailed that. Impeded that process, or that slowed that down. But the last couple years have also been good, so I've been able to do some road work and work my stuff out. So I think it's time. It's sometime next year. I need to make that happen. All right. What else? Yeah. So my Thanksgiving was good. Three Guys On, got to hang out with some folk. Saw my parents, obviously. They made me fry 2 turkeys. Now, when I was on Three Guys On, I was talking about it. Initially, I think when they were looking for turkeys, they could only find one with the legs. I think they were just looking for a turkey breast, which has the no legs and no wings on it. And because the fryer is only but so big, I think maybe a 10 or 14 pounder you could put in there. And then they eventually found a breast, and we cooked that on Thursday. And you spend a lot of money on that peanut oil that you use to fry it. So they found another. They actually found one. Oh, so this is what they did. The first one, they cut the legs and the wings off of it and dunked the breast. And I think my mom used the other. She did some black woman magic and shit and made gravy with the rest of that shit. And then they cooked a turkey. They made me cook another one. So I have a turkey that I've been picking on over the week. And And it's good. Fried turkeys are really good. And we do that a couple times a year. But no, I think that turkey is good enough for Thanksgiving. And that's it. Like Christmas time, I think that was just a tradition for so long. It's Christmas and Thanksgiving, you have the turkey. And I told them, I was like, hey, let's not do a turkey for Christmas. Let's do, I think my dad's going to try to, I think they're going to do like a prime rib or something. And we'll see. But yeah, I just don't, my parents are getting old and I don't want them to be overextending themselves. I'm just coming home to see them eat a little bit. And I told my mom, if she wants to do something, you know, hook me up with them greens. Like that's pretty much all I care about. And they had, my mom baked a cake. She baked a chocolate cake that I didn't take home. I didn't need to take any of that shit home, but it was good. It was really good. I had a slice of it. Cause my mom didn't bake that much when I was a kid. But her baking game is pretty dope. And, I bought my parents an apple pie and a pecan pie from Wegmans, and they're picking off of that. And, Wegmans has exceptional baked goods. They do baked goods really well. Now the fat boy in me, when I go to Wegmans, I like to go by their bakery and get cookies, like chocolate chip cookies. They have, and it's, I think I'm gonna go out on a limb and say that they're the best chocolate chip cookies. Are they better than Mrs. Fields? I don't know, but because Mrs. Fields, they're not around as much anymore. I think they only do like the store brand now. I think they only have them in stores, but it's a, whatever it is, it's a dying breed. Mrs. Fields, like they have, the last one I saw, I don't think I even saw it. It was at the Destiny Mall in Syracuse, New York. And I think I was going to go there, but I ended up not going to the Mrs. Fields. So I didn't get to have them there. There used to be a Mrs. Fields under Rockefeller Center in New York City. I don't know if it's still there. I haven't been there in ages. So that's not there. I don't know. I don't know if that's there, but Mrs. Fields used to be the shit. And maybe there's these memories that I have when I would take my mom when I was in college, and I would come home, my mom and I would go to Tyson's Corner, and we'd go, like, she'd get a Cinnabon and I get like Mrs. Fields cookies. And maybe that's the same thing I have with me and my dad going to Fuddruckers, why I like Fuddruckers so much, and why this week I drove for an hour after work to go to Fuddruckers. And I don't know if Fuddruckers is it good anymore? I don't know. Like, it was good, but I don't know if it was as satisfying. I don't know, man. It was good though. I don't know. But when my dad and I used to go, we used to go to the Batting Cages and we'd go to Fuddruckers after. I think those two memories of doing shit with my mom and dad and doing that, like, maybe clouds my judgment, because I still think Fuddruckers, their fries are good. Their burger, Fuddruckers is good. They used to have a Fuddruckers right down the street from me. Now it's a medical clinic. It's a medical clinic next to a Popeyes. It's like literally connect. I think it's connected to the Popeyes. So if you eat too much chicken, you can go to the emergency room after you're done. And that place, they tried to make it a Cuban restaurant after they got rid of the Fuddruckers, and that didn't work out. I think one of my friends, her husband got sick from the Cuban restaurant. They should have kept it. Maybe just it's just a diet. Like kids don't, people don't go anymore. I don't know. It's kind of sad because there used to be. There's two of them in New Jersey. There's two in New Jersey. There's one used to be in Wayne, and then they moved. I don't know. Okay, I'm anyway. Fuddruckers is great. Mrs. Fields is great. I just they're just a dying breed, at least in this area. And I think Wegmans has the best chocolate chip cookies in the game right now. I gave some to JL to celebrate his album release. And one of the last times he did my podcast, I went over to his place and got him some. And he ate so many of them that his girlfriend took the rest of them to work. And those were the good, those cookies were good. But I don't think, I didn't buy him the bakery. I think they're baked there, but it was a different, it's a different style of cookie. But if he'd have had the, if he'd had the straight up bakery ones, I think he'd be in a, he'd be in a coma. Those are so good. And so every time I'm there, I try not to go every time, but when I'm there, I do like to go. I do like their chocolate chip cookies. They are the shit. They're so good. Why was I talking about cookies? I don't even know where I'm at right now. I don't even know where I'm at, where I am in my life. How long have we been going on this? So we're talking Thanksgiving. Yeah, this is probably gonna be a short one, folks. I do have some other stuff coming up that I'll think there's some other, there might be some Patreon stuff coming. I don't want to promise you anything. You guys did get a green book. You got a green book review. And again, folks, these reviews, they're not just movie reviews. It's not just whatever. I don't care. Hey, subscribe to the thing. It's good. I'll try to at least give you two of these things a month, two Patreon episodes a month. And we'll keep it moving. I appreciate everybody, the 17 of you that are supporting the podcast. You're literally paying for the podcast with your contributions, and I fucking appreciate it. So I got my Christmas gift early on this year. So the day after Thanksgiving, I cooked that other turkey, and it's not hard. Like the turkey, cooking the turkey is not hard because you drop it in there. My parents just put like, you just season it. I think they just did salt and pepper, and I took it out there and just dumped it in the fryer, and it was good. So I cooked, but cleaning it is a pain in the ass because you got that smell. It's, you know, it smells like fried stuff, and you gotta, you know, I sprayed it off with the hose and soaped it down. It's a lot. I was mainly on dish duty for Thanksgiving. That's usually what I do. I'll clean up. So after I did all that, my parents and I took them out to see the film that I'm in, the Melissa McCarthy movie, Can You Ever Forgive Me? I took them to the movie theater to see that. And even though it's a small role, I'm in there for like, maybe a minute, maybe less than a minute. And it was fucking cool to take them to go see that, and the look on my mom's face. And it was pretty fucking cool. And yeah, the only thing though, they stay up later than I do, but it was a 7:30 movie. It was a 7:30 showing, and they're older. And I just don't like them, you know, being out late like that. But it was fucking cool. So that was like one of the coolest moments of my career. And doing this like since I was a kid, and actually getting work in TV and film. That's the highlight of my career. And to see them, to take them to see a movie that I'm in, and for them to see me, like the people that made the sacrifices, so many sacrifices, spending their time and money and putting into me and just seeing, getting to see me, see the fruits of their labor in that way. The coolest shit ever. Yeah, so that was pretty awesome. So that was my Christmas gift, and I'm good for the, I'm good. Like, I just, you know, Black Friday. Oh, and then I took him out to dinner. We went to Ted's Montana Grill. And I know, like, the older I get, the more I realize I'm like my parents in a lot of ways, like the good and the bad. They don't suffer fools really well. You know, like, they, like when servers try to put on a show and stuff, like, well, we got this. They try to joke around, and they're just like, dude, don't. Just give us, just tell us what. You know, they're not dicks, but I just know that they're not, like, trying to figure out how to explain it. Like, the guy was trying to, hey, you got room for dessert? And I can play along. My parents just don't really play along that way. And it's like, we just had two. I forget how it happened, but I was looking at them and I just could tell that they were like, dude, don't try to sell us on anything. It's all right, dude. You know, but, yeah, Ted's Montana Grill. Hadn't been there in a long time, and it was good. What else? Black Friday stuff. I did buy a coat. I bought a parka, and I wore it last night. That was nice. I need a new jacket. Got a good price on that. And then this week, what did I do this week? I did TPS reports all week. I went to a party Friday night. I was social. I was sociable. What is that? What is it? I was a social being, social butterfly. Went to a friend's party. And I was like, and this, that was a big deal for me, because the older I get, the more, and I know most people get, when you're in your 30s and you go out, if you're working all day or doing something and then you go home, you really don't want to go back out. You really don't want to go back out and get back into the world. It's harder. And so for me, I think I tried Friday. I worked. But I think I tried to go. I feel like I tried to take a nap, but I took a shower and I just relaxed. And I said, yeah, I'm going to this thing. I'm not going to be fucking lame. And what I did, because every time you go somewhere, at least like to a party, to a function, you should bring something. So I know my friend, she likes wine. She likes Cabernet. And so I went to Total Wine and More. And I asked the guy, he was like, oh, you should try this. This one is good. And then he said, but if you really want to impress somebody, this is what you do. If you really want the person to enjoy themselves, he said, I really love this. And so I went the one that he really loved, got that one. And I don't know. I don't have the verdict on how that wine is, but I'm sure she'll tell me. I was like, you keep this for yourself. You just keep this one for yourself. Don't let anybody else have it. So I hope she likes that. And so I did that. So I did that the night before. I did that Thursday night. And I said, well, now I have to go. I'm not a wine drinker. But if so I got that. And I was like, okay, I bought this wine that I have to bring over to her house for the party. And that was what was going to make me go to the party and not be fucking lame. And then I had a pep talk earlier, I think a day earlier. I did that Thursday, Wednesday, the day before. I had a pep talk from a buddy / mentor. And he just really, really just like, what do you say when he dressed me down? Pause. Like they do on the Joe Budden podcast. Pause. Anything that's considered homosexual. You just got to pause. I love that podcast, by the way. He gave me a talking to, and he said, Chris, bow, 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 X, Y, Z. This is what you should be doing. And I was like, yeah. And I was like, well, dude, should I go to this party? He's like, yeah, if you're thinking about it, and you should probably be doing it. If you're being a... Anyway, yeah, getting read. I was read my rights by my friend slash mentor. And I was like, yeah, I need to do this. I need to make this happen. And stop worrying about bullshit. And so, yeah, I went to the party, had a great fucking time. Seeing other friends, seeing comics, and just shooting the shit. I hung up. It was so much fun that we were leaving the party, and then five of us talking outside for almost a half an hour, 45 minutes. And I had a flannel shirt on from Duluth Trading Company, and I had my polo hoodie on, and I was thinking, it's not that cold. I'm good, because I'm only walking a couple feet, a couple blocks, not even that, and just, you know, going in into this nice warm apartment or whatever. So we're standing out talking all this time, and then we walk over to 7-Eleven, and because I like to get a ginger ale to close the night out. That's what I like to do. And they didn't have any fucking Canada Dry. They didn't have any Canada Dry. What kind of establishment, convenience store, doesn't sell Canada Dry? So I had to get a Schweppes. I had to get a Schweppes ginger ale, which is actually pretty good. It's not bad, but I'm a Canada Dry guy. Canada Dry should sponsor this podcast, but, you know, they probably won't. Because I'm not hip, not cool, whatever. So, hanging out. Then we're outside of 7-Eleven. Then we're talking more, and so I wake up the next day. My lower back is fucking hurting, and I'm just like, oh man, getting old. Don't want to get that arthritis. So, So I should have wore my new brand new jacket that I got. I should have wore that, but I had a great time at that party. It was so much fun. And last night I went out and saw If Beale Street Could Talk. Shout out to the homie Damian Lemon, who messaged me Thursday night. I was like, yo, are you SAG? I was like, yeah, what's up? And he sent me an email to a screening of If Beale Street Could Talk. It was one on Saturday, which was yesterday, and one today. And I said, oh, I bet I'll do the Saturday one. And he's going to go to the one today. But so I got the hookup for that. It was at the New York Institute of Technology. It's on Columbus, like Broadway / Columbus, around that area, on 62nd, I think. 61st, 62nd. And holy shit. I think I'm supposed to talk about this movie with somebody, maybe Rod. If Beale Street Could... This is... Okay, I'm doing my James Lipton voice. If Beale Street Could Talk, it would say that Barry Jenkins is 3 for 3. I haven't done my Barry Jenkins... James Lipton voice in a long ass time, but man, holy shit. I don't think I've ever seen, so I haven't seen black people look that good, look that beautiful on screen since this film called Restless City. And that was about 2011 or 2012. It's a fucking sad movie. But the people look beautiful. It's 2011. It's about a West African immigrant that comes to the U.S., comes to New York City to become a rapper, to become a musician. And he's just like, his career doesn't take off. So he's like selling his seat. It's a fucked up movie. But that was like the first time that I know. And Bradford Young, cinematographer, what he was the DP, and looks fucking beautiful. Selma looked great. Selma looked great too, and that was maybe a year or two later. I don't want to. Selma movie. Did Bradford Young do that one too? Let me look at this Wikipedia. Maybe this was around the time he did. See what I'm talking about? He did that one too. But he did not do this. He did not do Beale Street. But the most recent ones, it's been him and James Laxton. James Laxton's a white guy. That film, aesthetically, it was beautiful. I don't want to give too much away because I think we're gonna probably go talk about it. But it's one of the best. It's one of the best films of the year. And there's a couple scenes where I know like it's gonna be like, ooh, white people aren't gonna like this. And I'm not the guy that's like, oh, what are white people gonna say about this? It's just like I was just looking at it, I was like, ooh, ooh. That shit was wow. Holy shit. I didn't know what to expect, like, because it's obviously because Moonlight won a couple years ago, but Moonlight was great, but Moonlight was just kind of like a. Moonlight is it's just not an easy watch. It's great, but it's just that kid goes through so much. Yeah, man, that fucking guy, he's 3 for 3, man. And I'm interested now. I want to see him do more. I want to see what he does next. I think he's doing like the Colson Whitehead joint that he's adapting. But I think that's going to be an Amazon TV series or something. But that motherfucker, Barry Jenkins, man. Wow. I feel bad. I'm sad that he unfollowed me on Twitter because I liked him before. I think maybe it's maybe during my phase of tweeting about Pretty Little Liars that I think he unfollowed me. But if he unfollowed me for that, you know, whatever, man. But he's great. I hope I get to work with that dude one day. If Brian Tyree Henry can't do the role, then maybe they can at least let me audition for it. You know, husky black guy, sensitive, pensive black guy. I can do that. I can do anything, really, but I'm just saying, like, in that mold, you know, I can fucking kill it. But, man, holy shit, that's one of the best movies of the year. I was trying to figure, like, this year's been good, and there's been stuff that I like, but I just wasn't moved. And then I was thinking, like, it really wasn't that much black shit. Like, I just like how Barry, like, he's very art house. He's very artsy, but it's still grounded. Like, the score was great. The cinematography's great. The acting's great. Just costumes, everything. I mean, I know Black Panther, like, people are talking about costumes for that, but and that's a sci-fi. That's basically sci-fi. Black Panther's basically science fiction. But this shit, man, that movie is just, it's a beautiful fucking movie on all levels. It was so good. And I was sitting there, because I'm a nerd, and you never know how these free screenings are going to happen. Like, I went to one, I think I talked about it a couple weeks ago, like, in a theater in New Jersey, like, suburban New Jersey, this AMC that's near me. There's two of them near me, but the one at the mall, the one at the big, the regular, the mall of the plebeians, the mall of the peasantry, that just everybody goes to this mall. And the free screening, it was kind of a shit show. It was just all these people, and it was just annoying. And so I know that they can usually turn out kind of crazy. So I got there. This was really cool. So I'll tell you this. I'm not going to get into too much of the movie, and then I'll give you a movie review on something else, and I'll let you guys go. So this is another time where I was like, oh, I don't know if I want to go. Like, I want to go into the city, and I'm not doing a show or something, but just going into the city for something fun and cool. So I was like, all right, Chris, just go. You'll pay for parking, and it's fine. So I paid for parking, and it was like $30. It was $29, and I'm there, and it's just like a line outside of the garage, and I'm like, okay, I'm not doing this. I'm canceling my reservation, and I'm just going to go to another place and pay $30. Fuck it. I want to see this movie. Barry Jenkins is one of my favorite new director, newish. I've been following this guy for 10 years now, so I'm excited to see his shit. And I was looking for, I was like, okay, there's another lot like around the corner, 5 minutes away or whatever. And I'm driving, and I'm on like 60, I think I'm on 64th, and I'm like, oh my God, there's parking right here. So I park, and I looked at the sign. I was like, I'm good. So I don't have to pay for parking. This money will be refunded. I'm straight. That's what's up. And the parking gods, that was huge. The parking gods were they blessed me. So that was dope. And that was great. And so I get to the theater. So it's like was supposed to start at 7:30, and I think I might have gotten there like trying to figure shit out. Maybe like an hour before. And there's not that many people. It's nice. New York Institute of Technology. Like, I checked in, and you know, all that good stuff. And I was chilling, and I sat all the way in the back. I like to sit in the back, but these seats weren't elevated. So it's like, it's not like elevated by rows. It's just, you're kind of sitting there, and I didn't want anybody to be, I don't like sitting by people that I don't know. And I wasn't the whole time, but then this black woman in a head wrap came and sat, like when the movie was about to start, like maybe 5-10 minutes before the movie starts, she's with another guy, and she sits down in front of me, and I was like, fuck, I'm not going to be able to see. And so I had to like lean, give a little gangster lean to the side to be able to see. And because she had her India RE head wrap. And so I was good. And then the movie started. And then people were coming in late. And it was me. It was another girl that sat. She's like, who's sitting? She's cute, too. And she's, but I didn't say anything to her. I did not harass her. I was just a gentleman. I don't care. You know, there were some good looking women that came in there. And good-looking people that came into that thing, because I think it was actors and like industry people and some other shit that was going on. So this girl, she's like, "Is somebody sitting here?" I said, "You are," and she sat down. And so after the movie started, there were people that were trying to come in and get seats, and they got seated. And I was nervous because I didn't want anybody to sit between me and this other woman, because I had to lean over and to see the fucking movie. And so thankfully nobody sat there, but it can just be a shit show. And that's one of the reasons that I'm kind of turned off by going to some of these events like that. I got a ticket. I reserved a ticket for this new Bumblebee movie. I'm talking about art house shit. And then I got a ticket to early screening of Bumblebee. But AMC kept pushing this thing. They're like, if you get it. One thing, though, the collector in me, they said, if you go to a early screening of Bumblebee on December 8th, which is like all over the country, I guess they have this, you can get a little Bumblebee figurine or something. And I was like, cool. If I don't have a show, if nothing comes up on this weekend, I'm a fucking see Bumblebee. But then I don't know, like, I'm wondering because at the mall they have this AMC that's near me, and I've bitched about this before. I know that I'm a movie snob now. I'm a proud movie snob, and I don't care what anybody thinks. But I'm one of those people that I love Bowtie Cinema. Bowtie Cinema, usually, like at least the ones that I'm accustomed to, they're old school. They're it's not stadium seating. There's no reclining seats or anything like that. You're just gonna see a good ass movie. You're gonna see like a good art house film, and they have these films there. So I will continuously support them. But AMC, I was talking to a coworker about this. She was saying maybe for like a place like Garden State, which is in the Mall of the Peasants, which I'm one of them. Don't get me wrong. It costs too much for them to close it down to remodel and then bring it back. It probably costs so much. But the one at the Palisades Mall where Levity Live is, they've done it. And that's a bigger theater. There's 21. AMC, the one near me, is 16. So I don't know, whatever. But you can't reserve your seats. You can only just buy your ticket. And I'm thinking maybe I should switch that ticket out and just go to the Palisades Mall. Just go a little drive maybe 15 or 20 minutes further and go to that one where I can have like a reserved seat and not have to worry about like not getting the seat that I want. Or just being there super. That's just a weird. That's just me. That's a weird thing of. That's my own personal bullshit, I guess. But I still. Yeah, I don't know. But I'm going to go see Bumblebee. And because I'm a Hailee Steinfeld fan, I like her. I liked her since. What's that movie? True Grit. And now she's an adult now. So I'm not a creep. God, I should have even said that. But I like it. This should be good. If you're just focusing on Bumblebee when he's a beetle and he's not a Corvette, you know, so this should be interesting. I'm hoping it's good. It should be good. But if they're offering this and I'm not doing anything, I'm going to go see it. Let me give you a movie review and we'll get out of here. I'll talk about some music, too. Alessia Cara. She has an album that came out, The Pains of Growing, Alessia Cara. She's dope. I like her. As far as a pop, she makes music that sounds like when you're at the movie theater and they play something and it's fun and effervescent, or it's just a good song. It makes you feel good. It makes you, you know, she makes music like that. She makes music that, like, her hits, like, her jams, not, like, the sensitive shit, not like, the stuff that they play in the movie theater that make you feel good. Like, that's her shit. That's most of her stuff. She's really talented. She's good. Cute girl. She's also legal, so I'm not, like, being a creep. Also, Black Thought. How about that guy? Streams of Thought, Volume 2, Black Thought and Salaam Remy. They were talking about this on the Joe Budden podcast, and I think Rory said something like, yeah, there's like maybe like one hook. There's like one or two hooks, but like he's just fucking, he's the best that ever did it. Like he's just, it's Black Thought. I mean, you know, come on. I like that, obviously. Big Crit had something that came out a couple of weeks ago called Thrice X. And then he put something out, just like two tracks. Let me find it. I think Glorious is one record, but how did he do this? I'm trying to see how he did this. Ooh, 12 for 12 is on. I didn't know this was on Tidal. Where is that song? Double Down. So Thrice X came out a couple weeks ago. It's three songs. Double Down is just like two songs, two tracks that came out at the end of the last month, this past week. And Crit is dope. He had a record, one where he's like taking shots at Jeff Bezos, like talking about it was like a bar about getting the bag and more that something that I was like, damn, you're taking shots at Bezos, the future king of the world. Crit's always been dope. Sometimes you can get like, he can get overlooked, I think, but he's consistently dope as fuck. And he's been that way for like, shit, man. Almost 10 years at least, if not more than that, you know? So he's dope. I think that's all for the music that I've been vibing with. That's all the music stuff. And so, okay, so I'll give you a movie review. So when I went to Fuddruckers, I thought that I was just going to go to just go grab something to eat and then just go home or whatever on this past Thursday. And I was, I finished eating and it was early. As I was like, oh, and I looked at my map on my Google Maps and it was like, oh, you're an hour. It'll take you about an hour to get home because there's some accident. And Fuddruckers is right by, is in proximity to three movie theaters. And it's one in a mall, like a strip mall behind it. And so I was looking at the movies. I was like, I've seen mostly everything I want right now. I got to see The Favorite on Monday, which I think I'm talking to Rod about today. So that'll probably be on his spoiled movie reviews. So I saw that. And I saw Creed 2, which I'm going to be talking to Randolph about. And yeah, so I was kind of good for the week. And, I didn't know about Beale Street yet. So I was like, okay, what else is there that I want to see? I'm looking at it and I saw where that Wreck-It Ralph Breaks the Internet was coming on like in about a half an hour. So I was like, okay, I like the first one. Let me go see it. And I went, and I'll read you this blurb on Ralph Breaks the Internet. Video game bad guy Ralph and fellow misfit Vanellope von Schweetz must risk it all by traveling to the World Wide Web in search of a replacement part to save Vanellope's video game, Sugar Rush. In way over their heads, Ralph and Vanellope rely on the citizens of the internet, the netizens, to help navigate their way, including an entrepreneur named Yes, who is the head algorithm and the heart and soul of trend making site BuzzTube. This was good. If you like the first one, you're definitely going to be into this new one. And it's very smart. It's not on brand. It's very of the times. Very timely. Yeah, that's it. It's a timely film. It's good. It's very smart. It's like, it's definitely like a social, just like, I guess, WALL-E was basically social commentary. That's what definitely what this film is. And it's done really well. One of my only issues was that it seemed like they whitewashed Chun-Li. Like, Chun-Li looked like a white girl. I was like, why the fuck does she look like all this detail? You got like Sonic the Hedgehog and Q-Bert and all this shit, and you whitewashed Chun-Li. Like, the game's so detailed that like one of their jokes was like, they go into one part where it's like a fucked up part of the internet, like the ruins and shit. And you see a GeoCities sign that's like not turned on, but it's like Chun-Li's white. It's just funny to me. It was just like, what? What the fuck? Maybe it's just me, but I'm not going to be like, oh, this movie's trash. Like, obviously this is a really good movie. But I tweeted that, guys, about that. And, but it's a really good movie. I felt like off GP, I was like, I could wait on this. Like, I'm sure it's good, but it's just Oscar season. I want to see as many as I can in the theater, because around the time where SAG screeners come out, it's not until like January or some shit. And because I'm a nerd, I'm not going to wait for any fucking screeners. I'm probably like, if I get them before I get to the movie, that's awesome. I know some people, like, you know, some of my friends that are film critics, they've gotten a bunch of these already. So lucky them. They don't have to, you know, they can watch at home. But I actually love going to the movies. But because I think I might go see Vox Lux because it's opening in the Natalie Portman movie that opens this week. And it's only a New York and L.A. release. So I may go down there, go into the city and see it. So what else? Yeah, it's really good. So I was just kind of like, ah. But it was really good. I want to see if anybody else thinks that. I think somebody tweeted that or put on social media that this relationship between Ralph and Vanellope is low key problematic. Like, there's this little girl and this big huge dude that just wants to be this girl's friend, and he breaks the internet because he wants to be this little kid's friend and not let her flourish and grow. But there's the centerpiece of this film, it's worth seeing. The best sequence in the movie is when she meets all these Disney princesses, and I think that's the best shit in the whole fucking movie, and it's worth seeing for that. And it's great. Like, the music's good. It's really fucking good. And I was pleasantly surprised. Like, I knew the movie was gonna be good, but I was just kind of blown away. Like, how, like, damn, that shit was way better than I thought. So I really dug it. There's this commercial. Sorry, there's this commercial right now about Madden, and I low key want Madden. They had a Black Friday thing going where it was like $30. But then I think that I had this because I might have participated in something when I bought Spider-Man, or I downloaded a wallpaper theme, and I think they gave me $15 from the PlayStation store, but I didn't get it. It was like a quick notification, so I didn't get it, and I don't know if I missed my opportunity to get this thing or get something from it. So I don't know. Like, I was kind of nervous if I just paid $30 and got mad. I was like, shit, I could have got it for 15. But I know what they do every year, what they've been doing the past few years, is they'll do like on Super Bowl Sunday or Super Bowl weekend, you can get the latest Madden for like $20. And maybe I'll do that. But then I'm talking shit about the NFL at the top of the show, and I'm like, the NFL's fucking hypocrites. It's actually the games that I've watched, some of them, they've been pretty good. Like, I watched that Cowboys Redskins game, and that was fun. You know, I'm rooting for Black. Anyway, all right. So Ralph Breaks the Internet, really good. If you are on the fence about seeing this, like, this sequence in the middle where she meets all these Disney princesses, it's pretty terrific, and it's really funny. And it just kind of caught me off guard at how good it was, and the songs and stuff. Vanellope's song, and I dug it, and I dug the action. So I like the two Pixar Disney movies that I saw this year. The Incredibles, I like that. Just a good, enjoyable movie. And Ralph Breaks the Internet, really good. So it's definitely worth seeing if you have a kid and you're like, oh, I'm going to take my kid to this fucking thing. I think you'll get it. I think you'll dig it along with your kid. How long have I been blabbing into this microphone? Oh, I gave you 59 minutes. 59 minutes and 20 some odd seconds. Can we like stretch this for an hour at least? I think I have a show coming up somewhere that's on the books right now. It's in the city. I think it's December 11th. It's at a pizza shop, I think. Show called Ambush at Two Boots Pizza in Williamsburg at 8:30. That'll be fun. I feel like I'm just going to let loose on that one, you guys. I feel like I'm just going to let loose, have fun, let my hair down, and be a real artist. You know, I think it's going to be fun. And we're at an hour. So thanks so much, everybody, for listening. There's more stuff to come on podcasts and stuff. So listen to me and follow the tweets and all that good stuff. And hope you have a great week. And I will talk to you next time. Peace.